The other night, one of our producers was out to dinner with a group of people, and at the end of a meal, this guy, Kyle Elliott, slapped down a card and he said,
"Don't worry, guys, I got this covered. Fireworks is paying for the meals."
Wait a minute, fireworks is paying for the meals? That actually caught our attention. Turns out Kyle Elliott is a fireworks dealer based in Kent, and he uses a company that runs a barter exchange. Elliott can trade in fireworks to this barter company, and he gets a credit that he uses at other places like Thai restaurants. Kyle Elliott says bartering is something he's been doing for years.
Being raised in the family of business owners, it's something that we've always done. We owned a laundromat growing up, and we would trade laundry services to the Chinese restaurant next door for dinner. Now they're taking it and trying to, instead of me having to find all the people, they're finding them for us. I think this is more of like of the future of how things should be done.
Bartering itself is nothing new, but walking into a Thai restaurant, picking up the bill with a card that represents a trade made online, well, that does put a whole new spin on bartering. Bartering exchange companies are becoming more and more popular. Stephen Horowitz is an economist at St. Lawrence University. He studies these things. Hello, Stephen.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm fine. So in the olden days, if I wanted a cow, I might trade some firewood. Are we going back to those medieval days of barter?
Not quite. This is a little bit more sophisticated than that. I think the two things I'd say is to barter in the old medieval way, the problem was finding someone who had what you want and wanted what you had, and then ascertaining the value of the good. And as the gentleman said, right, what technology does is enable us to find trading partners, and that's what this technology does. But it can't really overcome the value problem, and these guys are still valuing their fireworks and their Thai dinners and their laundry by reference to a monetary system, and that really the credit, as I understand it, that you have in these cards represents the monetary value of those goods that you're willing to barter.
So one of the bigger bartering exchanges is called BizX. It's based here in Seattle. How would it work if, say, I knit a lot of sweaters and I wanted to barter them? What would I do?
Well, as I understand it, you simply join up with the exchange and you indicate to them that you have what they refer to it as excess capacity, right? You have things that you won't use yourself. You can't wear all the sweaters you knit, right? So
right.
You indicate to them, I have these sweaters I'm willing to trade. And as I understand it, they credit you a certain amount of value for those, which you can then trade against the other users of the card or other people in the network, and they can draw upon you. They can come to you and say, "I want to trade my free Thai dinner for your sweater." So it is a kind of very sophisticated sort of barter accounting system, I think, is the best way that I would think.
So companies like BizX are actually the people who keep the accounts for me.
Yes, they keep the accounts, and as the guy said, they match up, they enable people to find each other by creating these networks in which they know that people who, like BizX, have the BizX card or the sign in their window will accept this form of payment, will accept this trading as payment.
I'm talking with economist Stephen Horowitz about barter, and we talk a lot about the shared economy, Stephen Horowitz, these days, things like Uber and Lyft and Airbnb. Those are actually services that we exchange money for.
Right.
What we're talking about here really is a kind of sharing system, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and it's a little bit different from those. And I mean, one thing it shares with Uber and Lyft is, again, the use of technology to bring people together, someone with a need and someone with a supply. What BizX does, though, is rather than paying with money, you're actually paying with whatever this, again, the excess goods or
right.
services you're willing to give up. So yeah, it is part of, I think it's related to that sharing economy.
Well, going back to those olden days, those golden days of yore when I traded my sweater for a cow, those kinds of societies eventually adopted currency systems. Most places in the world have hard currency, I assume because it's easier than bartering. So why do we want to go back to barter?
Well, that's the fascinating question here to me. Why would you want to go back? And I think part of the answer is we're not totally going back. Again, these aren't going to replace money. They're still based on being able to value these goods and services in money. But what they do provide is a network for people. They can rely upon the BizX card as a kind of symbol of quality, that the traders have been vetted and their quality is good. I do think there's a certain cachet, a certain hipsterness maybe to being part of this this whole exchange network. You can say I'm not using cash. I'm doing something a little anti-authority. All those kind of things. Which, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think it becomes a convenient way again then to sort of formalize those, as the guy said, formalize those informal systems that have been around for a long time and make them much more efficient and much more widespread.
So BizX is here in Seattle. Does that mean we're one of the hubs for this new hipster barter economy?
Well, I'll be politic, but yeah, I mean, it's not surprising to me that Seattle and maybe Portland would be places that start this. There is a certain, you know, there is a certain cachet to it. And again, I don't want to mean that in a negative way. I think it's great, and it does expand the business opportunities for a lot of these people to have the ability to engage with other folks this way.
Stephen Horwitz, what does it say about the American economy on the whole that barter systems are making their way back into our culture?
Yeah, this is, I think, to me, what's fascinating about this system is the parallels to Bitcoin, right? And all Bitcoin is a kind of fancy accounting system for that enables you to barter, basically, by using the Bitcoin chains as your way of accounting it. And I think what they all say is there's a deep distrust among many people of money, of banking system, of the sort of standard way of doing things. And I think young people in particular are really interested in these sort of technological ways of getting around old institutions, one of them being sort of money and Federal Reserve notes and those kind of things, but also things like Uber getting around the standard taxi cab companies, their licenses and their high fees and you know, mediocre service. So I think this is part of that too. It feels anti-authority, it feels kind of hip, and it lets people again make trades they want to make.
Who knew bartering was hip? Stephen Horwitz is professor and chair of the economics department at St. Lawrence University. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And you're with The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.